Chapter 7. I didn't know what good it would do to prove that those birds had been poisoned. Remember, I'd watched my father try to persuade the original authority that putting a landfill near the harbor was a bad idea. And he was a professional, an expert. My father, the environmental engineer, well, in the end, it didn't matter a gnat's hair whether he was right or wrong. They went ahead and did what they thought was the cheapest and easiest way to get rid of the garbage. The same thing happened all over again with the incinerator. When I got home that night, my mom and dad were in the middle of a real blow-up fight. The subject was the usual, money. We were pretty broke. The magazine writing my father did was slim pickings, and my mom was working part-time 60 kilometers away at the Kmart. I walked into the house at the wrong time. I made a futile attempt to mumble a hello and slink off to my room. Damn it, Chris, you're old enough. Why don't you get some sort of summer job? There must be something out there. You can't just go chasing after girls and wasting your time goofing off on your windsurfer all summer. Right, Dad, I said. I didn't really want to deal with him. He usually wasn't like this. It was pretty sad to see how he'd gone downhill in the last few years. He used to be so full of energy and enthusiasm. Now he just worried about money and hassled Mom and me. It was a good thing he didn't know I just gave my $30 to Marianne. I'll go up to the Shell station and see if they need anybody to pump gas or change tires, I said. But it wasn't something I really wanted to do. Maybe I was being unfair to my family, but I knew I was in the middle of something important. I was in over my head, but I was in it with Marina. I didn't want to waste my summer pumping gas. That's not going to make much difference, my mother said. She and my old man had been scraping for too long for her to go back down. Look, right now we have to think about putting food on the table and paying the taxes. Everything will help. He should sell his bloody toy sailboat as well. Dad, I said, I'm not going to sell my sailboat. Just take it easy, Chris, my mom said. She could see that I was ready to jump into the battle. She noticed my leg. What happened? Fell off my bike, I said, and wrecked a perfectly good pair of pants, my old man shouted at me. I'm going to my room, I said, frustrated. It had been a monster of a day. My life was like an emotional roller coaster this summer. If it had been like old times, I could have sat down and talked about the Mergensers with my parents, but I knew that if I even mentioned it, he'd get depressed and not want to talk about it. We losers were like that. So as I walked off, I had 1,000 unanswered questions in my head. I lay on my bed listening to music with the earphones on, Nirvana, Mud Puppy, Enter Reality, and Good Idea Gone Bad, the good stuff. I liked it loud and liked it hard. To be honest, it kind of relaxed me. When I saw my digital clock pop up on 11:30, I was still wide awake. My dad and mom were asleep. They had stopped arguing after a while, and I think they made up. In the big picture, though, I knew that things were getting worse in my family. I had to do something to make sense of it all. I got up off the bed and walked down past the kitchen to my father's little cubbyhole office. Feeling a little bit like a criminal, I clicked on the light and looked at his filing cabinet. This was my old man's personal territory. This was his stuff, and I knew I had no right to go digging around here. But I needed more information. I knew that. And I just couldn't bring myself to talk to him about it, to get him involved. His battle against the dump and the incinerator had really messed him up. This was my fight. He didn't have to be involved. It was a good thing my old man was pretty well organized, not like me at all. I thumbed through his files until I came to incinerator right where it should have been, after hydroelectricity. It was a big, fat file full of photocopies of research reports and magazine articles. Pretty tough reading, but my father had meticulous notes all over the place. Good old dad. All the important points were underlined in red. I even found the notes he used for his presentation to regional authority. Incinerators in other parts of North America had been blamed for asthma in kids. I read, for depleting the ozone levels, for acid rain increases, and worse things. Parents had sued incinerator operators and landfills for illness and even death of not just animals, but people. But in almost every court case, it was just too hard to pin down the fault and had to make it stick. Lawyers could argue that it could be any number of things in the environment that caused the death of fish, ducks, or children. Apparently, there were a number of different kinds of burners. Some just burned ordinary garbage. Others burned chemical waste. It all sounded pretty scary. Included with the papers were the actual specs on the incinerator that was to be built. I made some notes for myself about the potential toxicity of incinerator fly ash. It was a list of chemicals that would be left behind from burning ordinary trash: mercury, lead, cadmium, copper, chromium, and dioxin. Then I hit on a letter. It was from my father to the regional authority director. Part of it read, "Based on my research, I strongly advise against the incinerator route for reducing landfill disposal. The incinerator configuration we propose to install is using technology that is at least 15 years old. Not only will it increase excessive amounts of carbon monoxide and carbon dioxide, but also particulate discharge laced with dioxin that will come down locally and at sea. Also, the resulting fly ash we propose to filter from such an incinerator will be far more concentrated in toxic substances than simple landfill refuse, and you propose no really safe means for disposal of such ash as will be left on site in the same manner as other common refuse. The clay liner is not designed to contain such substances, or at least has not been tested for effectiveness. It is imperative that other alternatives are explored. Please feel free to consult with me and my colleagues in the Department of the Environment on these and other issues, for which we will make ourselves readily available. Yours truly, Stephen Knox, Environmental Consultant." Stapled to this letter, however, was another one. This one was from my dad's former boss at Environment. "Dear Steve, I regret to inform you that your contract with us will be terminated at the end of the month. Monies are getting tighter and we are being forced to reduce our staff, particularly those on short-term renewable contracts like yourself. We appreciate all your fine work with us and trust you will find gainful employment elsewhere. Yours, Clyde Rollins, Executive Director." But I knew that it wasn't just the cutbacks that got my father canned, and he knew it too. He had been the only one let go. He was also the only one in his department to speak out against the incinerator. Somebody was at the door now. I tried to close the file, but the papers fell out on the floor. It was my mom. "Chris, what on earth are you doing here?" She looked really shocked. I was still hanging on to Dad's letter of dismissal. Mom came over and looked at it. "I just felt like I needed a few answers," I said. Her surprise had given way to anger. "You have no right to be doing this. You should have asked your father's permission first." I didn't know what to say. She was right, of course, but she probably knew why I hadn't asked. "I found this," I said, feeling more than a little guilty, but hoping that the letter would somehow explain why I couldn't get Dad directly involved. "That's all a long time ago. It's all over with. No point in getting back into it, and there's no excuse for you to be in here going through your father's papers." I started to pick up the papers that had fallen to the floor. I couldn't win. Nothing I tried to do was going to help anybody. She must have seen my look of defeat because she suddenly changed. "Here, let me help clean this up," she said, her voice much softer. "It's not over, Mom," I said. She shook her head and smiled. "Pretty soon something good will happen for us. Things will be different." She bent down and helped me pick up all the papers I'd spill. She handed them back to me. "Don't tell Dad I was rooting in his stuff, okay? I didn't mean any harm." "I know you didn't," she said. I looked at the papers I was holding on to. I was having a hard time sleeping, but this will work the trick. Nothing like a fat technical report to put a guy to sleep. My mom didn't say another word as I walked off towards my room with the file under my arm. The next day, I would photocopy what I needed and return everything. I still felt like a criminal, but at least I was a criminal with a worthy cause.